Let's take the Word of God tonight. Let's go to Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter 17. And this morning, of course, we had an emphasis on mothers. What a blessing that is. And by the way, we had a special gift for all the mothers, and we still have gifts left over. They are in the foyer area in some baskets. You are very welcome to take those if you would like to give one to another mother somewhere. Perfectly fine. We have plenty of them back there. Please take them, and that will be a help to us as well. Well, I told you that this past week I was at Mount Zion Baptist Church in Brogue, Pennsylvania, and I flew out on Monday morning and flew back yesterday with a revival there, and the Lord blessed. I had a good time and thank the Lord for that. But I was homesick. I want you to know I was homesick for my family and for my church family, and I was so thankful to get back. I jokingly said this morning that I'm thankful that I'm fine. I flew United Airlines, you know, and of course, everybody laughed about that. And somebody came up to me afterwards and said, well, you know, Pastor, they have two flights. I said, what's that? He said, they have the red-eye flight and the black-eye flight, you know. And so that's pretty good. I like that. So anyway, but so no black eye for me there. I tried to behave myself on the flight, you know. So, but I'm thankful for His goodness, and I appreciate all your prayers. Tonight, I want to preach to you on this subject, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Before I read Matthew chapter 17, we'll begin in verse 1 in just a moment. Before I read that, I want to ask you something. What are you looking at tonight? You say, well, Pastor, I'm here in church and I'm looking at you, I'm listening and all of that, but I'm talking about in your life. Where do you have your eyes fixed? So often the greatest trouble in our life is because our eyes are not on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I really believe that when we get in trouble, we get a wrong spirit about us, a critical spirit, a murmuring spirit, just a complaining spirit, our eyes are not on the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? If you get your eyes on people, you'll never have the joy of the Lord in your life. Because people disappoint, do they not? And people hurt. And sometimes even the ones that we think are our dearest friends hurt us. But brethren, tonight we need to lift up our eyes and get our eyes on Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 1, I want you to notice this passage. The Bible says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. This is a very precious passage in the Word of God, because here is the Lord Jesus, and he is taking with him, the Bible says, Peter, James, and John. We would understand these men as some of the closest to the Lord Jesus, in the sense that Christ showed these men things that other people did not get to see. And by the way, there are no favorites in God's family, but there are people who are intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ. God has no favorites. He is no respecter of persons. But for those that are willing to know the Lord and to walk with Him and to spend time with Him, God shows them things that maybe He does not show other people. I'm not talking about a new revelation, but I'm talking about an understanding of the Lord. And these men knew Jesus like no other person knew Him. They saw Him that day transfigured. Now, what does that mean? Let's take our Bibles and let's go, if you would please, to 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter number 1, because I want to talk to you about this transfiguration that took place there on the mount. What was that? Now, we know that there on the mount, here they are with Jesus, and Jesus is transfigured before them. Simply put, that for a moment, the veil was removed. What I mean by that is, for a moment, what separated the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He truly was God Himself, was taken away. That veil was taken away, and the men saw Jesus in His true glory. You remember when Moses was on the mount and he spent those days with God, and remember when he came down from the mount, his face shone. It scared the people. In fact, Moses had to put a veil over his face because of being in the presence of God, the glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light thereof. Do you know in heaven one day, we have no need of sun because Jesus Christ will be the light thereof. Think of that. A wonderful, precious promise. You see, for a moment, Christ was transfigured into the glorious likeness that He shall come in one day. 2 Peter, the Bible tells us in chapter 1, in verse number 16. Here, Peter, remember him? He was on the mount. He saw the Lord Jesus like only Peter and James and John saw Him. But he says this, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." There it is. Peter says, I saw His majesty. I saw Him like other people did not see Him. Verse 17, "For He received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with Him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now, what Peter is saying here in 2 Peter, he is saying, look, I want you to understand something. I've seen Jesus Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. I've seen His glory, the glory that God truly had given Him. The veil was taken away. He said, I heard with my own ears God the Father speak and say, this is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. But Peter gives us something. He says, you and I, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and that is in the Word of God itself. You see, wouldn't it have been great to have been there that day to see what Peter and James and John saw? But brethren, we have something that the Bible says is a more sure word of prophecy. It is God's precious word. You see, as they were on that mount, think of Peter. And by the way, let's go back, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 17, because let's talk here just for a moment. Can you imagine this day, they're up on the mount, and Jesus reveals His glory. But there shows up Moses and Elijah. Now, Moses represents someone for us. Moses represents those believers having died will be raised in glorified bodies one day. Because Moses died, we understand that. But you know, Elijah, God took him up. Elijah never went through the door of death. And Elijah represents all believers who at the rapture will be called up to heaven without passing through death. So there, Moses and Elijah represent to us something very important. But poor old Peter, he got his eyes on everyone else. In fact, now, Peter was always the man that somewhat put his foot in his mouth often, did he not? In fact, if you look in chapter 16, we won't turn there, but Peter has already said to the Lord Jesus revealed that he is going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to bleed and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. And you remember what Peter said? I'm sorry, Lord, we're not going to let that happen. Lord, we're not going to let that happen. That is not my plan. That's not what's going to be. And remember what Jesus said to him? He said, he called him Satan. Get thee behind me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. In fact, Peter here, look at him. Just in the chapter before, he spoke out of disbelief. He spoke out of faith in God. And he said something he should have never said. And here poor Peter is again. Here he is. There's Moses and Elijah. And boy, he's caught up in the moment. And he says, Jesus, let's make some tabernacles. We'll make one for you, yes, and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And do you know what took place? There in that moment when that happened, notice what the Bible says back in Matthew 17 and verse 5. After Peter said that, while he yet spake, verse 5, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now that was God the Father speaking. But I want you to notice some things here today. We must lift up our eyes. Number one, I want you to do this. Let us see Jesus. Let's see the Lord Jesus. Who do you see today? You see, sometimes it is easy to get our eyes on our circumstances, to get our eyes on our problems. We get our eyes on family members maybe that are not doing what we think they should be doing. We get our eyes on someone else maybe that is not living the way they should live, and we wonder why they are getting away with it. We get our eyes on everyone else, and I'll tell you what happens. When we do not have our eyes on Jesus, a cloud overshadows our life. You see, brethren, tonight, we understand here is Peter, and he's with the Lord. He's caught up in the moment, but the Lord Jesus wanted his eyes to be only upon him. Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Hebrews chapter number 12. What a precious passage this is for us. Who do you see tonight? We need to see the Lord Jesus. I'm reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 2. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Do you know Jesus Christ must increase to us? But we must decrease. I know that there have been times in my own personal life that I've got my eyes on problems and situations and maybe even people. And we get our eyes and we're so focused on dealing with that that our eyes are not on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we get our eyes off Christ, a cloud overshadows our life. You know what God did to those men that day? He wanted them to focus on Jesus Christ. He is the key. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our friend. He is our counselor. He is the one and only. It must be Jesus Christ. In all things, he must have the preeminence. Hebrews chapter 12, look what the Bible says in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now notice what the Lord is telling us here. Is it possible to faint as a Christian? Now the word fainting does not mean passing out as someone might do over some physical ailment or whatever it may be. But the word fainting has to do with quitting, giving up. You're so discouraged that you stop serving God, or you stop attending church, or you stop living the life that God wants you to live. Here, the Lord knows that we are going to face contradictions against sinners. And the Bible tells us, I love this, he says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus. If you were to study that, you would understand that the passage is talking that we are to look away from everything else and to look only to Jesus Christ. Look only to Him. Have our eyes on Him. Brethren, all of us are in a race tonight. You can't run my race and I can't run your race. You see, God has placed us. I was preaching this revival last week, and there's an older man there at the church. I've preached there at that church four times and over the years, and even when I was in Illinois. And so I know those people well, and Chris and I are good friends, the pastor. And a man came up to me on the very last night, and he said, "Well, you're heading back to Ohio." I said, "Yes, sir, I'm ready to get back." He said, "You are going to your corner of the vineyard." And boy, I thought about that just for a moment. That was a beautiful expression to me. You know something? The vineyard is the Lord's. He owns the vineyard. He owns it all. And God has put me on the corner of the vineyard. And I get to have a part in the Lord's work. You know something? That helps to help us to understand that the work that God has given us to do is no more less important or no more important than someone else. We're all a part of His vineyard, serving Him and working for Him. It's His work. We just get to have a part in it. But rather than how often we can get our eyes on other people. I'm going to tell you this. Looking at others will ruin your life. It really will. Now let's look back Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, verse 2, the author and finisher of our faith. You know what that means? Jesus Christ began a good work in us, and He will complete the good work in us. Being confident, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher. We read on, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice the shame that Jesus bore on the cross. Look here. The shame that Christ bore, the people accused Him of everything imaginable. Do you know that for all of the life of the Lord Jesus, they referred to Him as an illegitimate child? We know that Mary, we know that it was of the Holy Ghost, how she conceived a child. That was a miracle of God. But people did not believe that. And they called Jesus names that should have never been called to Him. He received accusations. He received judgment. He received shame and reproach and people. The Bible says He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Jesus bore all of that. And we are to look unto Him because He understands what we go through. He knows the heartache that we share. He knows the burdens that we bear. We are to look to Jesus Christ. That third verse I love. For consider Him. Folks, consider the Lord Jesus. Consider Him that endured such contradictions against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Brethren, I want you to know something. It is possible for you to become weary in your minds. Isn't it amazing that God talks about the mind? The mind is very powerful. In fact, that's what the devil targets. He wants to put thoughts in our minds. And by the way, the devil, he's the accuser of the brethren. And the devil accuses us to ourselves. He accuses us to God. He accuses other people to us. And you see, he works at that. He is the father of lies. He puts thoughts in our minds that are not true about God and are not true about other people. So what must we do? Look unto Jesus. See Him. And you say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? I'll tell you how you see Jesus. You get in the precious Word of God. You get your heart filled with God's precious Word. I'm going to tell you something. Through the pages of Scripture, I'm going to tell you what you'll see. You'll see the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll see His love. You'll see His forgiveness. You'll see His grace and His mercy. You'll see His compassion. You'll see His care. You'll see Jesus Christ. And when we're looking unto Him, we get our eyes on off of other people. And we are following Jesus Christ. Brethren, Jesus only. That should be our theme. Jesus only. You know, so often we get our eyes on other things. Go with me. And I know I'm jumping around here, but I want to help you tonight. Matthew chapter 14, would you turn there? Let's talk about Peter just a little bit more. And by the way, sometimes we get a little hard on Peter. But I sure see a lot of Peter in my own self. And by the way, if God can use a Peter, he can use anybody. You see, there's lots of Peters that are used of God. There's lots of Pauls. There's lots of different men. And I believe God gave us all kinds of different men that he used and blessed, and women that he used and blessed, for us to understand God can use any of us. Matthew chapter 14, we know the story here in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." The Bible goes on to say in verse number 28, would you notice? "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Now think of that. What an amazing miracle. Peter is walking on the water. Have you ever found anybody else that can walk on the water? Not anybody else. We give Peter a hard time, but he was the only man that got out of the boat. He was the only man that was able to trust Jesus enough. He was going to Jesus. But notice what it says in verse 30. "But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately," would you underline that word? Because it's a precious word. Yes. "Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased." Now here's the picture. Peter, they're on the ship. Now by the way, all throughout God's word, we find a theme. We find that people get afraid. Do you ever get fear in your heart and life? You know something? If we were honest, if we took the halo off and put it down beside us on the seat there, if we were honest, I'm going to tell you what we'd find. That all of us live with fears in our heart. We live with the fear of the future, the fear of the unknown, the fear of a disease, the fear of cancer, the fear of a loss of a loved one, the fear of an accident, the fear of this, the fear of failure, the fear of all kinds of things. We have fears in our heart. And I'll tell you why we have fears and why I have fears. We get our eyes off Jesus Christ. We get our eyes on the circumstances. We get our eyes on all the trouble that is around us. Here's Peter. He got out of the boat. I mean, I can't believe it. Can you imagine those other disciples watching him? This is amazing, you know? Peter's walking on the water. You know what? One day when I get to heaven, I want to ask the Lord if I can walk on water. I'd like to do that, you know? Can you imagine Peter walking on the water? I mean, it's amazing. And he's going to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he sees the wind and the waves. He sees all of that. And guess what happens? Fear enters his heart. He got his eyes off Jesus Christ. And notice the Lord Jesus, here he is. He begins sinking. And what does he say? Lord, save me. Peter knew he was going down. And immediately the Lord was there and grabbed him and saved him. And in a moment they were back in the boat. I mean, a miracle of God. Brethren, can I tell you this? There are times in your life and in my life, we get our eyes on troubling things in our heart and life. We're so distracted by those things. And that's what the devil wants to do. The devil wants us to get our eyes off Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and how we are to love him and see Jesus only. We are to look unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. Our eyes are to consider the Lord Jesus. You do that as we come to the Word of God. We see him through the pages of Scripture. When we go into our time of prayer, we are looking unto Jesus. We are casting our dependence upon him. That is the key. I said before that when you look at circumstances or you look at people, you're going to begin to sink. We sink in fear, do we not? We sink at a time when we are losing sight of God. And by the way, brethren, can I say this to you? When you and I lose sight of our God, that's when all the trouble begins in our life. We become cold towards the Lord, and we even become cold towards other people. You know, by the way, I've met people before, and they say, well, I'm not going back to church because I got hurt there in that church. Someone said something to me. Someone did something. And yes, probably someone did. But you know really what happened? They got their eyes off Jesus Christ. Brethren, Jesus Christ will never fail you. He will never speak unkind to you. Jesus Christ will never disappoint you. Jesus Christ will never fail you. Jesus Christ never has a bad day. Jesus Christ will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And when we are looking unto Jesus, it changes everything about us. Because our focus is right. Our sight is right. I can remember, I thought about this story the other day, and it happened on a Mother's Day. All right. It was just me and my two sisters, my mom and dad, and we were late coming to church. And you know what happens when you're late coming to church? Guess where the only seats are available? Up in the front, you know? That's the only things available. And I can still remember, I think I was maybe 11, 12 years of age. And my younger sister, I mean, she's 3 years younger than me, so she still carried a baby doll, you know? She had a baby doll with her, and I didn't realize it, but we were walking down the aisle. I mean, the service had started. The preacher's up there. He's not preaching yet, but my sister dropped her baby doll on the ground. Well, guess what I did? I wasn't paying attention, so I kicked it accidentally. I kicked it up the aisle. So here comes a baby doll rolling up the aisle, you know? Well, guess what happened? Everybody saw that. And everybody's looking at this baby doll that I just kicked up the aisle at Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee, you know? And Pastor Sexton saw it, you know? I mean, it's crazy. And boy, everybody was so distracted. Even the preacher had to say, all right, everything's fine. Everybody look right up this way, you know? The Samples family, you know, that's them right there. Well, you know how it is. You know, a lot of accidents are caused in a car because the driver is distracted. And a lot of accidents in our own personal life happen because we get our eyes onto other things rather than Jesus Christ. In fact, let's look at something else. Would you take your Bibles and go to John chapter number 21? John chapter number 21. I made this statement that I want you to remember it. Looking at other people will ruin your life. It really will. Do you know when you compare yourself with other people, God says that is a very dangerous thing to do. It is not wise to do. Comparing ourselves among ourselves, the Bible says, is not wise. When you look at other people or other families and you think, well, I should be more like them and I should do what they do, I should have what they have, you are on dangerous ground because you've gotten your eyes off Jesus Christ. Do you know that tonight I have one person to please, and that is Jesus Christ? That's it. And if I please Him, then guess what? That takes care of everything else. See, tonight it must be that we are to see Jesus. Think of those disciples out there. Well, they're all stirred up about Moses and Elias and Jesus. And then God says, wait a minute. The cloud overshadows and it hides those other men. He says, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. Get your eyes back on my Son. You know what God has to do to my life and your life? He has to say, look, get your eyes back on me. Look to me. John chapter number 21, we come to verse number 15. I'm going to give you another story here. We're talking about Peter again. Boy, we're pretty hard on him tonight, aren't we? John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. John 21, verse number 15. He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Now that's speaking of John, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, talking about John, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, you know what Peter did? Peter got his eyes onto other people. We see him on the water and he's got his eyes on circumstances and adverse trouble. And Lord, what am I going to do? And in a moment he cries out and Jesus saves him. And he deals with him because of his unbelief. But here, Jesus is speaking and John is leaning upon the breast of the Lord Jesus. He loved the Lord Jesus so much. And Peter said, hey, what about him? What about John? And Jesus says, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He's saying, Peter, get your eyes off John. Get your eyes off of what's going to happen to him and what he is going to do. Look to me. Follow me. Brother, can I tell you this? When we look at other people, it will ruin our lives. You see, I believe one of the first things that we first learn in life as far as being a Christian and serving the Lord is that not everyone has a heart for God. Yeah, I was very disillusioned when I went to Bible college. I really thought that everyone at Bible college wanted to serve Jesus Christ with all their heart. And I can still remember sitting in Bible college. Here I was, fresh out of high school. And boy, I was excited. Everybody here wants to live for God. And this is a great place. And I began to find out that not everyone there in the student body really wanted to serve the Lord. And I became a little disillusioned about that. And you know what? That happens to us. We look at other people. They've been in church for many years. And we think, are they not growing in their Christian life? But let me say this to you. Be careful that we do not become a hypocrite in the sense that we are concerned about everyone else rather than concerned what God is doing in our own life. I got news for you. If you and I, and we've all been here, we're guilty of becoming critical of other people and what they are doing. Can I tell you something? You don't have your eyes on Jesus Christ. I'll tell you when you have your eyes on Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah saw the Lord lifted up high and holy. You know what he said? He did not say, Lord, all these people in my church, I'm telling you, they need to get right with you. You know what he said? Woe is me. And I'll tell you this. In my life, when I am critical of other people, it is because I've not been in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because when I'm in his presence and loving him and knowing him and walking with him, I see myself for what I really am. I don't got time for other people. I'm so consumed with being right with God and loving him and knowing him that my heart is in tune with the Lord. You see, Peter got his eyes off of Jesus, got his eyes onto other people. The fastest way to go blind in the life of a child of God is to get your eyes off of Jesus Christ. Do you know something? It is possible for you and I to forget all the blessings of God because we got our eyes on something else. We forget what God has done in our life. We don't even see the blessings. We don't even see them because we're so consumed with what is troubling us. Brethren, when we get our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, see Jesus Christ, look unto him, that means this: Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? You know? Lord, what do you desire from me? We are looking to him, his perfection, his sinlessness, his righteousness, his glory. It changes everything about us. We must see the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the Lord has designed the Christian life that you do not grow by watching and listening at everyone else. You grow by keeping your eyes on Jesus Christ. You know something? If you get your eyes on other people, I'm going to tell you something. You'll be upset all the time. You will. Because so-and-so said this, and so-and-so did this, and so-and-so didn't treat me right, and so-and-so said this, all that. We'll become so upset, we are consumed about other people. But brethren, I'll tell you something. When I'm in His blessed Word, and I'm spending time in prayer, and I'm looking unto Jesus, and I'm talking to Him, and He is talking to me, I'm going to tell you something. It changes my countenance. It changes my disposition. It changes my attitude, because I'm seeing Jesus Christ. Can I ask you something? When is the last time that you saw Jesus? You say, well, Pastor, we can't see Him with our eyes. I understand. But through the eyes of faith, I can see Him in the Word of God. Amen. I see Him. I see Him here. Boy, when's the last time you've been alone with God and His Word? And Lord, and you just came to Him and said, Lord, I don't want to think about anything else. I just want to see You. I just want to talk to You. I'm going to tell you something. It'll change everything about you. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your home. It'll change your family. It'll change the way you listen to the preaching of God's Word. It changes everything. When we see Jesus Christ, brother, that is the key to our Christian lives. Oh, that we may see Him. David even prayed, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things of thy law. We get blind, do we not? We get blind because we're looking at everything else. Number one, we must see Jesus. Number two, and the last thing tonight, we must serve others. Now, if you were to go back, and would you, just in closing, go back to where we were at in Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter 17, let's go back there one last time. And I want you to see something. I've got news for you. If we are looking unto Jesus, we will serve other people. And when we are not servants, it is because we are not seeing Jesus. I was on a plane this Monday, and I'll tell you, I had, it seemed like a red-eye flight, and had to get to Columbus Airport by 5 o'clock in the morning on Monday, and took me forever to get through TSA. It was backed up and just lined up and all of that. And, you know, I was standing there in line, and you can't help but hear the conversations of other people. They talk. And I'm standing there, and what's amazing, what you hear people talk about and what they say. I did not hear one conversation about the Lord or about knowing the Lord. I got on a plane, and I was sitting by a man, and I was trying to strike up a conversation for the opportunity to witness to him and tell him about Jesus Christ. And of course, you know, a stranger and all that. And I asked him, I said, well, do you live in Ohio? Because we were leaving to go to, flew into Washington Dulles Airport, and then from there to, of course, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. But I said, you live in Ohio? I said, yep. And he was just kind of giving me short answers. And I said, are you a Buckeye fan? He said, yep. And I was like, man, I'm trying, Lord. I'm working on this. And then I said, well, you have family here? And that seemed to be the thing. He said, yeah, my wife and children. And he said, I've got grandkids. And there was another thing I could talk to him about, you know. And I said, well, grandkids are God's gift to you for not killing your own kids. And he laughed, and he said, yeah, they're a blessing. And I said, is your mom and dad still living? And he said, my dad passed away. He had a tragic car accident. And there was the door to be able to talk to him about Jesus Christ. And I asked him, I said, was your dad a Christian? Did he know the Lord? And he said to me, he said, I don't know. And I said, well, what about you? His name was Chris. I said, Chris, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? He said, I don't think so. And I was able to share with him the gospel. He did not get saved on the plane. But you know something I thought to myself? You know, that's what we should be doing with our life, is witnessing wherever God places us, being used to the Lord to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And brethren, if our eyes are on Jesus Christ, I promise you, no one's going to have to tell you or ask you to tell someone about Jesus. You see, when we're full of Jesus, we're going to talk about Him. I remember my wife and I would celebrate 19 years of us being married in July. And wonderful. But I remember when we first got married. Man, I was so proud. I was so excited. Everywhere I went, and I'd be standing in line somewhere, I'd say, hey, just got married this past week. Just want you to know, you know. People are like, so what, you know. And, well, I was proud about it, you know. I want everyone to see my new bride. I remember coming back to Temple, and we'd been on a honeymoon, went to Charleston, South Carolina, and we were there for 9-10 days and came back, and I remember going to Temple. Man, and what was great about going back was we were in college together, all right? And, you know, college has rules. You don't hold hands, you don't kiss, you don't do anything. And we came back, and I was like, hey, look at this, guys, right here, you know? And, you know, I just want to stand up on the platform and kiss my wife in front of everybody just because I could, you know? And so, but I was so proud. Hey, this is my wife. I mean, she's the dream of my life. I love her. You know why? It was in my heart. Let me tell you something. If Jesus, if our eyes are on Him and we are full of Him and His presence, we will tell other people about Jesus Christ. We can't help but talk about Him. He's in our hearts. We have spent time in His Word. We have been in His presence. And let me tell you this tonight. The thing that we are lacking and I am lacking is we don't spend enough time with Him. Because the only way to get our eyes on Him is to get near to Him. You know how we do that? It takes time. The song goes, take time to be holy. Spend oft in thy word. Brethren, the thing that I think we need more than anything is to get alone with Jesus Christ, to have Him in our heart. And when He is in our heart, we will serve others. Jesus Christ was a servant. He served other people. He washed the disciples' feet. He came to give of Himself. And when we are looking to Jesus, we will serve other people. We will tell other people about Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're back in Matthew chapter 17, and I want to show you this. Notice it again. Verse 6, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Can I ask you something tonight? Is that where you're at? I've been there many times. I'm talking about fearful. We're on our faces. And notice what happened. I love this. And Jesus came and touched them. Now look here. I think that is one of the most precious things in God's Word right there. Here they are. They are on their faces because they're scared. I mean, God in His holy presence overshadowed them in that cloud of light. And they're on their faces. And the Lord Jesus came up to them and said, hey, it's okay. It's all right. I'm here. I'm going to tell you something. That's what you and I need tonight. You have fears. You have struggles in your heart. You know what Jesus wants to do? He wants to touch us and say, look, it is I. Be not afraid. I'm here. I'm going to take care of you. Brethren, tonight, we just need to get our eyes on Jesus. We need to get close to Him and near to Him and love Him and know Him. And when our eyes are on Him, that takes care of everything else around us. You see, when we're not right with Him, we're not right with other people. And when you're not right with other people, you cannot be right with God. You see, brethren, tonight, let us get our eyes on Jesus Christ. Lift up your eyes. Let's bow our heads in prayer.